All right. We are studying the parables of Jesus. We have looked at the parable, first of all, of the sower, of the seeds, or of the soil. And we looked at some of the things it taught about how the seed can be received. And we looked at four different types of soils, which represented four different types of hearts or attitudes or spirits. We looked at the parable of the wheat and tares and saw that the kingdom will have tares in it come the end of the world, and that those will be plucked out of it. Then we looked at the parable of the mustard seed and how it taught about the great potential that the seed represents, and that the church can grow, the kingdom can expand greatly all over the world. That leads us to the fourth parable about the kingdom, and that's the parable of the leaven. Parable of the leaven, and it is found in Matthew chapter 13. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. It won't take very long to read this parable. It's one verse long, so... But it still teaches us a lot about the kingdom. And remember, these are all about the kingdom of heaven, some aspect of it. Matthew 13, and the parable is found in verse 33. Matthew 13, verse 33. Would someone read that verse for us, please? Matthew 13, verse 33. All right. We might use today the word yeast, but it's basically the same thing. And when we look at the Bible, that word leaven is used in different ways. A lot of times, and probably more often than not, it's used in a negative way, isn't it? A lot of times, leaven is used to represent something that's bad or evil, something that is dark. For instance... turn over a few pages to Matthew 16. Beginning in verse 5, Matthew 16, verse 5, "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It's because we've taken no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I'll not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?' Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Their leaven is put as something bad. And that is the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What was bad about that? And why did he liken the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees to leaven or yeast? Yes.
As it is bread right there, it can be good or it can be bad. It's on the source.
Exactly.
If you have good leaven, it's going to have good bread. Bad leaven, it's going to be bad bread. It's the same thing. Our influence on other people is God's influence we exert. If we exhibit bad actions and things, that's what they're going to see. That's what, and that may influence them to be that way.
Okay.
If they're good, they're going to go that way.
All right. Skip.
So the religion, the Pharisees, our religion is concentrated here, okay, in this room. But when we get out among the world, it influences all the rest of our lives, the same way yeast influences the flour and the dough.
Yep.
He's telling them to watch out, make sure that what you believe and what you practice is right, because it influences all the rest of your life and you influence other people. And it spreads the way, same way yeast will spread,
okay,
make the whole bunch of stuff dough rise.
Okay. And that was the kind of the danger of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because remember, one of the things he denounced about the Pharisees was their hypocrisy, right? They would teach things that would be right, but they wouldn't live it, would they? They wouldn't live it at all. And he said how dangerous that was. So he likened it to yeast or leaven and how dangerous it was, because look at all the damage the Pharisees and Sadducees did to other people. They taught them wrong. They showed they influenced them in a very negative way. And so a lot of times, yeast and leaven is used in a negative way. Here, though, he wants us to understand how positive this growth can be. Remember, he says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So the whole point of the parable, as we've already mentioned, is that this is about the kingdom of heaven. So he wants us to know that. And we don't want to read into the Bible something that's not there. We want to take out of it what's there. You know, a lot of times the religious world practices what they call eisegesis. They put into the text what they want to see there instead of exegesis, taking it out of what's actually there. And so that's what we need to be careful about. Yes?
Look down instead of saying, don't let me be like this sinner, but Lord, accept me like this sinner and forgive me. You know, that would be a good example. But instead of the Pharisee, he gave me a bad example, because don't let me be like this guy, like, but I'm better than you. And
yep.
And of course, we Jews, a long had that haughty type attitude, because they were God's chosen people.
That's right. They were God's chosen people. So they used that in a negative way. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So when we look at leaven, when we look at yeast, he says this: the growth can be like that. So let's focus on, kind of goes back to what Skip said about yeast and how it works. All right? Yeast can be dead, can it? Sometimes you can think you're going to make bread when in reality you don't get much out of it at all. So that yeast can be dead and doesn't, you know, go throughout and cause it to rise and make, you know, loaves of bread and so forth. So it can be dead. And that's, of course, not what we want at all. We want it to permeate the whole thing, to spread throughout the whole thing. And so the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be like that. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't tie yeast to
it. Yeah.
And if that got not used at a certain time, it was no good.
That's a good lesson, too. That's a very good lesson. If it's not used, it becomes unusable. And so when we think, again, going back to the example of the kingdom of heaven, if we don't go out into the world, you know, we're not supposed to stay hidden, are we? We're not supposed to go in a cave and live there. You know, if you're going to have bread, you can't leave the yeast or leaven out of it. You've got to put it in the dough. So it's got to be in the dough. Well, we can't, as Christians, go hide. You know, the world must see who we are. So we have to go out into the world. I mean, Paul, when he talked to the church in Corinth, told them about that. So, you know, you have to go out into the world. You can't hide. You can't, you know, just stay in a building and think that's it. Yes?
We have to take it out of the package.
Have to take it out of the package. Doesn't do any good if we keep it wrapped up. That's exactly right. If it's going to do any good. And so he doesn't want us to hide ourselves in caves or away from people and... It won't do any good if that's the way we're going to live. So we have to get out into the world if we're going to have it influence. Well, one way we do that, of course, is Mark 16, 15 and 16, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, it doesn't mean we have to stand on a street corner. But we must. I mean, if we're going to, again, if we're going to make a difference, and if the kingdom's really going to grow, then we can't rely on two or three people. If it's really going to spread and permeate the whole world, well, each of us individually has a responsibility. You know, not a single one of us can go teach the whole world, can we? It's impossible. So we teach who we can. And we're always ready to give an answer, right? Like Peter told us. Always ready to give an answer. If someone has a question about this, or someone brings up this topic or that topic, then we're ready to talk about it. Not that we have answers to everything, but we're willing to discuss, you know, whatever it is they're willing to discuss. And we had an example last week with Dean and Martha's friend. He was asking questions about things in the Bible. Well, several people were able to talk to him about certain things, kind of open his eyes up a little. Well, that was being yeast. That was being leavened. That was teaching. So doing that is vital. You know, at some point we do have to open our mouth. At some point we have to open our mouths. Yes, we have to live right, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But that's never enough. We have to be able to open our mouths. We have to be willing to discuss. And one of the things, of course, is go into all the world. Proclaim the gospel. Now, let's go. I think this was already mentioned. Back a few pages to Matthew 5, Jesus talked about how important it was about how we lived. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13. Would someone read verses 13 through 16? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house.
How far did you say? 16 also, yes.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Now both of those things, salt and light, if you don't put the salt in contact, it doesn't do any good. And if you have a light but never turn it on, doesn't do any good. So both of those go back to the same idea that yeast, about yeast, it has to be used before it can be effective. We have to be in the world. And when we're in the world, we must be living a certain way. If we talk like the world and think like the world and do like the world, we're not going to influence the world. So we have to be different. You know, the more we're like the world, the less effect we're going to have. And again, whether we're talking about salt, we're talking about a light, whether we're talking about yeast, if we really want the kingdom of heaven to grow and expand like it has the potential to do, going back to last week's parable, then you and I have a responsibility. And it's a great responsibility, because that's the only way it can grow. There's no other way to grow. There's not. God doesn't miraculously come down and cause growth. So we have a great responsibility. We have to be in contact with the world. And we have to do our best to change the world and not let the world change us. And in the past few decades, I think the world has done a little better job than we have in that respect. So whether we're talking about salt, whether we're talking about light, whether we're talking about yeast. And also, I think from our parable, we can get the idea that this is not done by force. You know, some religious groups almost force growth, don't they? If you look at the history of Islam, it's been a very vicious, blood-covered growth. in various countries throughout the world. That's why they're mostly Islamic. Not because of the teaching, but because of the past history of bloodshed. Yes. Yep. So both of those world religions have had a lot of blood associated with them over time. And if there's, you know, one thing the Bible teaches repeatedly is that's not how it's done, right? Jesus, when he was, during his trial, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here."
And that's what the Jews
were exactly. That's right. And Jesus emphasized that over and over and over again. That is not the kingdom. You know, the way we grow the kingdom is not by force. You know, we do it in kind of a reserved way as far as being physical. We don't physically try and convert people. And that goes back to offering rewards. You know, some religions will go into countries and offer people rewards, money or food or whatever, to be converted. Well, that's the same thing that this is talking about. That is not the way the kingdom is supposed to grow. Yes. Well, that's true. Yeah. And again, that is so. Against the way the Bible says it's to grow. We have to be willing to not just teach what the Scripture says, but live what the Scripture says. And when we do both of those, and again, not neglecting one or the other, but both, then we're doing what God wants us to do. And then there is a great possibility for growth, but we have to be willing to do both. We don't... yeast isn't, if you just look at yeast, it doesn't look like much, does it? So the kingdom is not supposed to grow with great pomp and circumstance either. That's not what the kingdom is about. We're not supposed to be showy or flashy. Kind of goes back to what C.L. was talking about. That's not how the kingdom is supposed to grow. And the reason for that, for all of these, is because that doesn't really convert anybody. We're wanting people to become followers of Christ, not followers of a building, not followers of us, not followers of some physical reward. We want them to become followers of Christ. So we want them to understand why Christ came and what he did for them and how it affects how we live. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our responsibility as salt and light and yeast. So not to come with pomp, not with force, not with physical rewards, none of those things, because none of them really convert, because the Bible says the only thing that can convert people is the Word. Nothing else has the power to do that. So yeah, it might look... I mean, you can pay people. I mean, if we had the money, we could fill this building every day by paying people to come. That wouldn't be hard to do. If you offered enough money, it would be standing room only. If you offered them enough money. But what would happen on the Sunday you didn't give them any money? Shoo, gone. It's because they weren't converted to Christ. So the kingdom is supposed to grow just like yeast. No force. No pomp, no physical rewards. We're supposed to change it from the inside out. Right? That's where yeast works, right? It works on the inside. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we must do, and that's what we want to do. And we want it, like the parable says, we want it hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. That goes back to... See, this is where everybody's does their part. If we want the whole world to experience this leaven, then everybody in the kingdom then must act like yeast. I mean, they must be willing to live a certain way, teach, do what they need to do. Because you can affect part of the world, and I can affect part of the world, and then someone else can affect another part of the world until it's all leavened. But one person can't leaven the whole world. So, you know, we are a kingdom of priests, and that means we all are responsible for doing just that. Oh, there's another verse I wanted to use. I think it's really good. Philippians chapter 2. Almost forgot it. Philippians chapter 2. And it's verse 15, if someone will read that for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Oh, and 16. 15 and 16. No, and 14 too. Someone read 14, 15, and 16. It's kind of all one thought. 14, 15, and 16 of Philippians chapter 2.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Notice the three things. We'll do a mini sermon. Everybody ready? Mini sermon from these three verses here. Number one, we have to be grateful, which means no complaining, no griping, none of that. First of all, that's not going to influence anybody. Now, if everybody in the Lord's church did nothing but gripe and complain, guess what? It's not going to grow ever. Okay? Number two, we're to do what? Become blameless and harmless. We're to live in such a way that people see us in that light. As people that we're not trying to cause harm, but we're trying to do good. Because the world we live in is crooked and perverse. And then the last point is, we do this how? By holding fast the word of life. There's a three-point sermon if everybody ever wants one. Holding fast the word of life. And how important that is. Everything we need to know is in the word of life. Questions, the answers to all of our questions, all the problems in life, where we came from, who we're supposed to be, where we're going. Everything, all the answers are there. And when we talk with people, they need to see that that's where we get our answers. Everything is in the Word of Life. And as it says here, holding fast, we're glued to it, we're cemented to it. Because therein lies all the answers. And that's what we need to do as we go out into the world. Because we want it to be complete. Now, as we do it, we want to remember something. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is the section in 2 Corinthians where Paul starts talking about and goes through chapter 6. The importance of who you are. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us," here's the part I want to emphasize, "through us," you and I, Christians, "diffuses or spreads the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Now here's the two things that can happen. Number one, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." There's the only two groups. Those are going to be saved and those who perish. And why? Well, to the one were the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now, what does it have to do with? Verse 17, "For we are not as so many peddling the word of God. But we're what? As of sincerity, as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." And he begins now the next four chapters, 3, 4, 5, and part of 6, talks about how we have to be sincere. In other words, whatever we teach, we have to live. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Trying to make good out of it. And of course he was doing just that. So when we do this, when we diffuse the knowledge of him everywhere we go, there's only two possible reactions to that. So whenever we talk with people, whenever we're doing trying to do good and shining our light, there's two reactions to that. It's going to help some people lead to life and other people lead to death. That's the only possible reactions, because there's only two destinies for people. So just because we're teaching what we need to teach and living the way we need to live doesn't mean that everybody will accept that. Some people will take it and it will cause them to go to destruction because of how they accept it and how they look at it and so forth. So I think that's something we need to learn as well. So final thing, just think about all the good that the church, the kingdom, has done through the years. Even going back to the first century, the Christian religion elevated womanhood. You know, in the first century, women were pretty much just property. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. New Testament teaches we're all one in Christ Jesus, male and female. You know, free and slave. So it talked about equality. And wherever Christianity went, slavery declined. The murder of infants declined. Labor was dignified. You know, and in a lot of places in the first century, labor was not dignified. People tried to get out of labor. But the Bible holds it up as something that God sees as being positive, being a good thing. And, of course, there's charitable organizations and hospitals and all kinds of things. So it's a powerful little parable, the parable of the leaven. But it does give us a lot of reason for hope by what we say and what we do. Well, thank you for all your comments today.